Hey everyone, welcome back. This is Fukuoka Fat Guys, episode 3 in the house.
Coming at you live from the mean streets of Fukuoka, Japan.
Lock your kids, lock your wife.
Hide your kids, hide your wife. Oh man, this nice Sunday evening after a day of rainy snow, I don't even know how to explain it.
Slush. It was like slush, yeah.
Yeah, just woke up, heard thunder and lightning, and just came out to see. It sounded like rain, but when you looked outside, it was snow and just kind of falling hard. You know, good old global warming. Gotta love it.
Yeah.
Oh, excuse me. Just
ate
dinner.
Yeah, we just ate. Made some pretty interesting food choices.
What did you eat, Carl?
500 grams of rice.
Wow. Just rice? No.
Chicken katsu.
It was pork.
Pork katsu.
I mean, I'm guessing. I wasn't there because all I ate was vegetables and healthy stuff because I'm a better person.
Yeah.
I would never eat 500 grams of rice.
Who does that?
I know, with cheese and pork and, oh yeah. And I don't think I'm going to be able to walk for 3 days.
Yeah.
I mean, I wouldn't if I ate that because I'm not saying I did.
But it was good. It was really, really tasty. It was...
That was the only meal of the day, too, right?
Yeah.
So it evens out.
Fasting.
IF, yes. So what's been happening with you since the last episode?
Since the last episode?
Yeah.
I've just been making a whole bunch of bad choices.
I'm noticing a theme here.
Yeah.
But,
I mean, I guess the only thing is if you make those bad choices, you know, there's always going to be consequences to each of your actions, right?
So. Yes, I agree with that. But I'd rather make a bad choice myself than kind of make no choice at all.
Yep. And what is it that say, like, you only hit 100% of the balls you swing at?
You only miss 100% of the balls you swing at, something like that?
I just fucked that quote up.
I don't know. You only hit 100% of the balls you play on bingo.
Something like that. Anyone who, if you know the quote, put it in the comments.
For our dozens of listeners again. Yeah, making choices, it takes a lot. Like, I notice a lot of people want to go to advice from somebody else and have that influence their choices, but...
Yeah, that's the hard part, right? Like, everyone's always seeking advice, but it's more like they want confirmation bias.
Yes, they want either confirmation or just to be told what to do.
No one wants to take personal responsibility for their actions.
Exactly. And it's much easier to blame someone else for a bad thing that happens to you. I mean, I think that's the whole culture back home right now, right? Remember when, like, even just with, like, schooling back home, you know, when kids screwed up. When I was young, if I had bad grades, I got an ass whooping. Yeah, and it was my fault, right?
Yep. Not your parents' fault.
Yeah, no, now it's the teacher's fault.
The teacher's fault?
Yeah, the teacher's the one that's like, oh, my kid doesn't know how to do 2 + 2, so obviously you're teaching them wrong. So
no
one wants to take blame anymore. No one wants to make choices. And I think advice is a good thing if it helps you see both sides of a choice. But
yeah, but the hard part is when you give advice and the people that are getting back the advice that they don't want to hear, they're all of a sudden, I need a new doctor. So, second opinion.
How do I drop 40 pounds in, you know, 6 months? Oh, you got to eat super healthy, work out a lot, and
or chop off your leg.
Chop off your leg. It's like, oh, that doesn't sound like I want to hear. Let me ask another guy. You got to drink beer, punch babies, and, you know, watch movies. That's
what I thought.
No, confirmation bias is, it's kind of annoying, but I think that's how, like, a lot of people make their friends, too. Like, they like people who think the same way and have the same opinions, so.
Yeah, I think last time we talked about, like, if you want to be successful at business, you should surround yourself with people that are good at business, right?
Mm-hmm.
But also with your personality and life and who you want to be, they say you're a combination of the 5 closest people you hang out with.
Hmm.
So I totally believe that, and I think you become more like the people you hang out with.
Yeah.
You
know? That's kind of an interesting thought. The 5 people you hang out with the most and are closest to is what you kind of become.
Yeah.
Huh. Oh, shit. That explains a lot about me now.
You know, we're friends.
No. What are we saying? Talking about bad choices? Like,
why do we keep making bad choices?
And doing it together? Oh, yes. We're just merging into one being. Well, you have a big choice coming up right now, right? You guys are in the middle of trying to move into the city.
Yeah, that's been a choice in the making. 12 years we've been living in the country, so we're going to try to move a little bit closer. So,
well, how far is your commute right now? Like,
my commute by bicycle is about an hour and 30 minutes.
And how many miles would you say that is?
That's about 20 miles.
20 miles. So you do one way is an hour and 30 minutes.
Yeah.
And what about by car?
By car, it's about an hour.
Oh, God. You only save 30 minutes by going in a car? Shit, how fucking fast are you biking?
Yeah. I don't. When I ride a bicycle, the red lights are a suggestion.
Red. Challenge accepted. No, man, that's nuts. And you've been doing that for 12 years. Yeah, how do you stay fat?
making really bad choices.
I mean, God.
Well, fuck you, man.
An hour and a half of biking, like, I'd just disappear if I did that shit every day.
My my kids say that to me all the time. Carl, you ride your bicycle all the time. Why are you still fat? I'm like, I should smack you.
Choices, kids. Choices. I choose to be this way. Fat is beautiful or some shit.
Yeah.
So what were the big things to consider when looking at houses?
Space.
Space, which is a... Like, that's rarity.
That's a commodity in Japan, right? Like,
I was going to say commodity, but I was like, is that the right word?
Yeah. It is rare.
Yeah. No, but, space and I guess location, right?
Yep. A lot of people, when they're picking out apartments, they say location should be your primary choice, because you want to be able to, like, be able to get to a station easily. You want to make sure that your apartment is close to a store, mm-hmm. like a grocery store, because if you don't, you're going to be making a lot of bad food choices.
Hey, I feel like you're making fun of me. I had a store, but they took it away. Yeah. I live 4 minutes away by foot from the station, and there used to be a grocery store literally like 30 seconds from my house, and then they turned it to a goddamn parking lot.
That was a good store too. It was a Mammy's, right?
Yeah.
It's
kind of like a, what's it called, bougie. I want to say bougie. It's a like a premium grocery store, and but I hear they're gonna build another grocery store, so, because Lord, yeah, it's real easy to order that delivery McDonald's. Oh yeah, McDonald's delivers out here.
Yep. McDonald's. Actually, a lot of things now deliver because of Uber Eats.
Mm-hmm.
So,
it's actually cheaper and quicker to get McDonald's through Uber Eats than to get it through the McDonald's website.
Are you serious? Wow.
But yeah, having that grocery store, like, that was a godsend when it was there. I was able to eat good food and, you know, stay semi-healthy. And I only ordered, like, maybe once every 2 weeks or so.
Yeah. And also, they say with apartments or choosing a place where you live, in Japan, that if you're a single guy and you live out in the boonies, you know, you're not going to get girls to get back home with you. So, like, if you're in the heart of the city or by a easy train station, then it's much easier for you to persuade.
To have visitors, yes. Extracurricular visitors.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, you guys, the place you're looking at is kind of huge.
Yeah, I think it's a nice place. I really hope that we get this place. We'll let you guys know, and maybe when we're moving, we'll make that into an episode.
It'll be pretty good. Yeah, moving out here, that's some fun stuff to look forward to in Japan. Most people actually move through, like, moving companies and stuff.
Yeah, but that's for people who have money.
Yeah. Yeah, I moved like 2 blocks away, and I think it cost me like $260 to move my house. And that's back when I had nothing. Like, I don't even want to know how much it would cost now to move.
You're thinking about getting yourself a new TV?
My buddy's been looking to sell me that. I mean, if I had the money, like, getting one of those paper-thin TVs with 4K and resolution and all that stuff.
Do you remember when they used to have these buy rent to own places?
RTO, because what was his name? Richard Pryor used to be on the commercials for those.
Are you serious?
RTO, rent to own, yo. Yeah.
Yeah, and man, I'm sad that the kids nowadays won't ever know what layaway is.
Can I put this on layaway? Yeah. Oh, sure. Oh, man. There's so many things that are just gone.
Yeah, yeah.
Buying options. Yeah. Well, credit cards. Everybody just has credit cards now. Yeah.
Do you remember when people used to make scams on phones? The Psychic Friends Network. Oh,
what was the name? The lady's name?
Diane Warwick.
No,
right?
Miss Cleo.
Oh, Miss Cleo.
Oh, call me now. Where are you at? Oh, girl, he cheating on you, man. And I think she got caught for like something big, like years ago. But
I don't know.
She was the biggest one, right?
That's because we all made bad choices.
Miss Cleo. Oh God, what about the sex lines? The 1-900.
Oh yeah, dude. I heard people, like, they didn't have enough money to pay their phone bill. Because the way it worked, right, is you would call these, what they called 1-900 numbers back in the day. And for each minute was, what, $3.99 or something like that?
$3-$4, yeah.
Damn.
Well, people be on there. We have the internet now.
Yep. You kids don't know what we had to go through. Watching pics, like, snowy boobs
scramble
on Skinamax.
Oh man, choices, right? Yeah. Oh man, but nah, it's been really interesting to see the choices I've had to make in Japan. I will say, when I came out here, I was really worried because the way I interact with, you know, Asian people in America, I was like, oh god, what am I doing moving to an Asian country? Because growing up, while I was in the countryside, just pretty much the only people I messed around with were black, Mexican, or white. You know, that was that water. There were Chinese people or Hmong people, but we never really interacted much. Then you move to Vegas and you see an abundance of Asians you've never seen before. And it was weird because, like, every time I'd meet an Asian student, they would always tell me, like, you know, we can't be friends, or my family would disown me if I dated you. And I'm like, who the hell's talking about dating you? So when I came to Japan, I'm like, shit, giant black dude in Japan, is this really the best idea?
Yeah.
But it was very surprising that they treat me way better out here than they do back in America.
Yeah, well, America's going through a really weird, like, they're going through a weird period of time, right? Like, I mean, the last 3 years have been nerve-wracking for, like, the whole police officer thing. And, man, like, your dad was a cop, right?
Oh, yeah. He was CHP back in Cali.
And he told you, right? You better be calm, right?
Like, oh, he'd always tell them what you're going to do. Identify, like, I'm reaching in my pocket to get my wallet and stuff like that. And he's, like, always showing respect and stuff. Like, he was scared for us, even though he was a cop. But, you know, in Atwater, when we were out there, we really didn't have much to worry about because such a small community. It's kind of like if I got pulled over, I would have been pulled over by somebody that worked with my dad.
So, in Atwater, did you feel race was a big thing? Like,
I used to get beat up at my school for being the only black kid. I didn't understand that I was black, but... Yeah, I got jumped for a while, and then I grew bigger than everyone. And lo and behold, people don't want to fight somebody bigger than themselves.
Yeah, I wonder why.
No, it took a while, but my school eventually, like, it stopped. You know, I had, like, my friend who I'd been growing up with since preschool, and, you know, that guy, me and him, we'd fight all the time with each other, but it was just kind of like, you know, brothers fighting.
Yeah, but I often wonder if... we should actually go back to the time when fighting was okay, you know, like in Seattle, they have that mutual combat law. Have you ever seen that?
Mm-mm.
In Seattle, if you say mutual combat and both parties agree, the cops will stand by and watch.
And make sure no one gets hurt.
Yeah. And you could, well, you can fight.
Yeah.
So.
Well, it's the problem with fighting is that people are kind of pieces of shit now. Like, no one, like, fighting until, like, someone's knocked down or first blood, you know, that should be it. But then you got fools, like, kicking fools on the ground and cheating and, like, having their boys jump in. So.
Yeah, and that's the hard part, because most people don't realize, like, if you fight and then it's done and then they don't realize it's done, you know, like violence brings out more violence, right? So
no, like yeah, my I remember when I was in Atwater, I had an English teacher my freshman year of high school, and he said they used to give kids like super big boxing gloves, and just let them go at it in the ring for a bit. And I mean, because the frustration and the feelings are there, but you know, you punch somebody in the face or get punched a couple times, you know, it's hard not to respect that person. Because that was the thing when I was getting picked on, when I started fighting back. After you fought back at one time, like
they were good, you,
they just left you alone. I mean,
yeah, because no one really wants to fight. No, you know? Like
no one wants to fight somebody who knows how to fight. I think that's what I saw. It was a quote on either a TV show or something. But
and it's always like it's always the insecure or weaker people are the people that want to fight. You know? Like,
the Napoleon complex fools, out there barking the most and
So back in Atwater, you were like one of the only few black guys there.
So I had like 7 cousins, you know, and they all live in the same goddamn house, but they went to another school, so I was the only black kid, and it was weird, like, always around, like, you know, February when, like, Black History Month would come through, because I'd get a lot of attention. But, yeah, my teachers used to think I was a thug. Like, every time I meet motherfuckers for the first time, they're like, oh, he's a thug, or he a playboy, or something. They always think the worst of me.
Mm.
So, growing up at that school, yeah, it was strange. Like, the kids in my class I never had really a problem with. It was, like, the older kids and stuff. And there was one black kid who was like an 8th grader when I was in 3rd grade, and he graduated, and then, yeah, it was just me until my little sister showed up, and she wound up being like the meanest kid in school. But, it was weird, like, listening to country music and dealing with all this shit, and I fucking hate country music. But going to high school, that was culture shock, because like I said, races I've never even seen or heard of before. And then going to Vegas after that, fuck. People from all over the world.
Mm.
And Vegas messed me up because I didn't think like black people and Asian people could be friends. As fucked up as that sounds. Because, dude, just the shit I would hear from these people, just so goddamn dumb.
How old were you at the time?
When I moved to Vegas, I was 13 turning 14.
That's a hard
freshman year.
It's a hard life though, that time.
Oh no, I mean, the only thing smart I did was I looked kind of mean. I learned my thug face, the mad dog, the resting bitch face, and then people just left me alone. I was already a giant, so.
So in Vegas, race didn't matter so much then?
In Vegas, it wasn't race, it was just, oh god, what's posturing? Like everybody wanted to be tough, everybody swore they were part of this gang that you've like never heard of, and they're like, no, you don't know. And I was, the school I went to had so much more money than the school I had in Atwater, but their educational level was way lower. And I remember when like the PT Cruiser was coming out, you remember that old ugly ass car?
Yeah, the hearse.
Yeah, people had that car like months before it was out, and just because, you know, their families were rich and stuff. But apparently my high school's kind of ghetto now. No, yeah, race has been a big part of my life and my family's lives.
So how does it feel being like, I remember when I first came to Japan about 10 years ago, people like who are black or people who are brown like me, it was really rare, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes, even for them seeing foreigners, it was really hard for them. Like, Japanese people never, especially Fukuoka, they didn't have much experience with meeting someone from another country.
No, yeah, it's but they're very sweet. They're just very curious. They don't know any of our customs, and the weirdest thing at first was when people are like, "Oh, you look like Obama," or "You look like Will Smith," and I'm like,
"Denzel."
And I'm like, "Wait," and then it's not because we look alike. It's because those are the only black people they've seen, you know, ever. You know, there's Bobby, was he like a K-1 fighter or something out here? There's a guy named Bobby who's popular in Japan. Everybody always talks, says I look like him. And this guy looks nothing like me. 8 shades darker. You know, Will Smith, I mean, he's handsome, but so it took me a while to realize they weren't being racist. They just never saw black faces, really.
Yeah.
TV, movies, that's like mostly white people.
Yeah, they don't really mean anything. They don't really mean anything bad or negative about it, but they're naive.
Mm-hmm. I mean, we're the same way. Like, if you ask anybody back home who's not Asian, you know, take a look at like these six pictures of Japanese people, they're gonna think there's something in common.
Yeah, you know? They're Chinese or Korean.
You know, it's,
they all look the same.
You go into like the countryside or the Midwest where there's not a lot of Asians, you know, because you haven't seen many Asian faces. If you only see like three, of course you're gonna see similarities between them, and that's how I felt it was when they were looking at, you know, thinking about black people and stuff. And so when I make worksheets and stuff like that for my kids, I'd always try and put black pictures in there just so they see. But
lately, like, black people have been more prominent in Japan. Like, the Miss Japan, she was half,
right? Oh, yeah, a couple of years ago, the Miss Japan. She lived out here.
And you tried to meet her at the gym, right?
I was going to go, but it was just, like, her talking about stuff. And I'm like, you're like,
hey, baby.
Hey, me and you forever have my baby. No, I had actually met her in a club out here. I didn't even know. But see, when you're biracial, born in Japan, you just think you're Japanese. So even though she's half, like the rest of us, like, and that's what a lot of British people are always saying. They're like, you Americans, race is always such a big deal. And I'm like, yeah.
Yeah, well, growing up in America, you know, it's, especially as a black person, you must have had a hard time with that, you know?
No, I mean, It was what it was. I just hung around with people who, like you said, when you make choices, and, you know, I just chose good friends, you know, and, you know, race didn't really matter. Race still doesn't matter, you know? Dating, friends, it's just, I care more about the person.
Dating, I don't know. In Japan, dating.
Well, I mean,
you're the wrong color. you're not the preferred color.
It's harder for me out here, but it's,
well, There's a couple of reasons why I feel like it's harder for you. For one, two big poku.
Shut up, goddammit. Okay.
Two big poku. You ever seen Full Metal Jacket?
No, we don't need to worry about that part.
Okay. And also, you're like super intimidating. You're like super tall. And you're not like a small guy either. So like you're 333 pounds, you know. That's a lot of human being for these 60 kilogram women to deal with.
And especially when you don't smile enough.
Yeah.
No, it's weird. Like, people who want to date foreigners in this country always aim towards white, and I think it's because that's what they're most comfortable with.
Yeah, they're used to seeing that, you know?
That's what beauty is. You know, having dark skin for some of them, even when they have, like, a tan, you know. When they go biking around, they'll wear sleeves to not get tan, and these weird goofy looking hats to cover their face.
Remember the time when we were in the Philippines and on the game show?
With the gay guy who was like seating, he's like, oh,
James.
We went to the Philippines to visit Carl's family, and we were on a TV show, and I won a gift bag for being a good, you know,
good sport.
Yeah, just and we didn't do anything. We were just part of the crowd, and the guy giving me the bag looked inside and started cracking up laughing, and he's like, oh, here's your whitening cream so you can be a better person.
That was fucking hilarious.
Oh, it cracked me up. But no, that was a good trip too. But yeah, no, that's kind of why I want to introduce my students to as much extra like races as I can, because, you know, I want them to just look at people and just see people.
Yeah, not just, like, race, right?
Yeah, not just be like, oh, Americans equal white, you know. Black people don't exist until we talk about sports or hip-hop music.
Yeah, bolts.
I know. But
or basketball.
Yeah, so that's, like, been my big thing out here. But, yeah, being a giant who doesn't smile in the mornings doesn't help me in any sort of way. Out here.
Yeah. The hard part is, like, when we used to go to the gym a lot, people used to always ask us, what do you guys do here? Are you guys athletes?
Mm-hmm. You know? But are you guys basketball players? Are you military?
Yeah, military is what we always get, you know?
Oh, I fucking hate that. Military.
And you know what? For the people that served, you know, thank you for our freedom. Really, I really do appreciate you guys serving and everything.
But when you come out and, like, go around the places you live, stop acting like goddamn fools. Oh, my God. So, I have curly hair, and barbers out here don't know what to do with my hair, so I have to shave my head in the summer. You know, just take it down low, you know, a little bit of peach fuzz, which makes me look like a military dude. And I got a few friends in the military out here, but these, they're young kids, you know. You got kids coming out here who are like 21 years old.
19.
Yeah, and then they just party up and act like fools. They get drunk. They'll start fights sometimes. Like, it's gotten better now, but it's... The one bad thing I will say about being here is that the same thing that happens in America happens here. If one black dude screws up, all of us out here feel it, you know. If one military black dude dates a chick and, like, cheats on her, she's going to tell her friends and be like, oh, you know, be careful of black dudes, blah, blah, blah. But when white folks do it, oh, no, it was just that one guy. He was just a bad apple. It's like, God damn it. So I fucking hate it when the military come out here and act stupid, screwing up my stuff because I look like them when I shave my head. It's, oh, it annoys the hell out of me. But, yeah, I think the closest military base we have is Sasebo.
Yeah, Sasebo's pretty close.
Yeah, that's where we get most of the fools out. And, you know, a lot of them come out every weekend and party and stuff. But, yeah, it's just when they act a fool. I remember on my birthday one year, this guy, this little, like, well, I mean, he was a little kid to me, but he was a military dude, and he got drunk, and he was talking to a girl I was friends with, not interested, just friends with, and homeboy thought I was trying to steal her. I'm like, oh, no, man, I'm not trying to do anything. He's like, well, you need to watch out, because I have a knife. And I'm like, you old Papa Smurf-looking motherfucker, what the fuck are you gonna do? I'm gonna just step on you, like, and... You know, the owner of the club, he was like, hey, boys, you know, let's not act stupid. And he told the military dude, he's like, if you don't act right, we're going to kick you out. And so the military guy, it was his birthday on the 21st of March, saw the owner of the club's like, hey, why don't we get him drunk? I'm like, oh, yeah, let's get this fool tore up. We knocked his ass out. He was drunk, sleeping on the counter. I was like, ha, 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 motherfucker, that's what you get for messing with me. Only problem was, is it was my birthday on the 20th, so I had to sit there and drink, and end of the night I fell asleep in my bathroom.
Shit, nice.
Oh, yeah. No, it's tough when you have people's actions come off on you.
Yeah.
Makes you kind of paranoid.
But whether they're military or they're English teachers or stuff, like, all foreigners are going to be grouped together, like, in Japan. It's just... That's just how they're going to view everything, you know?
I think it's just the human mind. You want to group things together, yeah, and make it more...
They just want to make everything neat and tidy for themselves, you know?
But I would say as a minority, it's easier for us to come to terms with that.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of white folks, they kind of lose their shit when that happens up here.
Yeah. I personally love it here, you know? Like, you know, you can lay low or you can just do your own thing and... You know, most people here are pretty cool, so I like
Oh, that. No, I love it out here. Like I said, I've met people from all over the world and stuff, but it's just, when you've lived in America as a minority and you come out here, it's cakewalk.
Yeah.
You know, even though all the stuff I said, you know, sounds negative, it's no way near as bad as, like, going into a shop in America and having people follow you or, you know,
or
fitting the description.
Telling you, your kind is not welcome here.
I've never had that happen, but... You know, when I used to go to Chinatown in Vegas, they used to follow us around all the time until, you know, they realized we were just nice people. Then they used to drink tea with my mom while me and my sister would shop. So it's, you gotta show people who you are. Like,
yeah. I mean, like, everyone's gotta, like, understand that people are just people, you know? I think the sooner people realize, you know, we're all the same, you know, we're all just human beings and... It's going to get better. Yeah. The world will get much, much better place to live.
My philosophy is I hate everyone until I get to know you. That way you all get treated the same way. But, no, I mean, it's interesting. My hair is probably the thing that my students don't understand. So, they really don't really see curly hair out here or froze or anything. And the younger they are, the more they want to touch your head. They don't understand you don't mess with people's hair. And they're like, Sensei, why is your hair curly? And
I'm
like,
yeah.
I was born like this. I'm like, but why is it curly? And I'm like, genetics. And they're like, but you got a perm? I'm like, oh, Jesus Christ, I'm just going to stop talking now.
Yeah, they just don't get it, you know. Like, Japanese people have really bad personal space kind of issues. Or...
A lot of touching, especially if you're the same sex. They'll just come up and just start feeling you up, and they're like, oh, you're strong. Your hair's curly.
Like grabbing your boobs. Oh, like, oh, God. Nice body.
Yes, nice body. Oh, God, I hate that. But you just get used to it. It's kind of like taking showers and stuff at the gym out here. Remember how that used to be?
Yeah, the first time you're naked with other people, like, it's kind of weird. But, man, something about, like, it's very liberating. It's like, yeah, now it's like nothing.
Yeah, no, yeah, when our gym has showers with stalls, so you can, like, close yourself in, but it also had a hot tub and a sauna and used to have a cold bath. But yeah, but we're also very shy with our bodies as Americans, I think, you know.
Yeah, we're sexually, like, repressed people.
Yes, Jesus and all that good stuff. But no, it's interesting. It's weird how Japanese we've become in the years we've lived here. One of the things I love about this country is how free they feel to be about, like, things they love and about, like, nerd culture and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
You know.
Like, there's stores that cater to that stuff, you know, like Mandarake and Manga Soko, yeah.
And, yeah, if you like video games as an adult, that's all right. You know, you're going to work, you're earning your pay, no one judges you for that. Whereas in America, you know, I wouldn't really let people know I was a nerd, like, if I just met them.
But, to be fair, it's become quite trendy to go to Comic-Con and those kind of things.
Oh, right? Oh, yeah, it's mainstream now, and I know that just, like, annoys a lot more hardcore nerds, but I was watching a TV show yesterday. There's this guy, Bill Maher, I don't know if you know. Yeah. And when Stan Lee died, he made this comment about how, yeah, you know, RIP Stan Lee, but people need to stop reading comic books and read real books and blah, 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 and, like, people just got annoyed with him. So on his show yesterday, he did the same thing. And he's like, you know, comics are for children and blah, 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 blah. And it's like, this man, this old ass man who just loves to, like, smoke weed and bitch at people is getting mad that, you know, people of different ages enjoy comic as a medium of entertainment. And oh God, it annoyed me so goddamn much. Like, you like reading Superman, so the fuck what? If you got a job and you're making money and, you know, doing everything else, like, what you like to do is what you like to do.
Yeah, I think everyone should have the freedom to do whatever they want to do, you know. If you like, what they call it, sticking your head in the refrigerator and it doesn't kill anyone, you know, why not?
Well, my thing with the whole nerd stuff was that he's over here talking about, you know, no one reads Shakespeare anymore, blah, 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 blah. But Beowulf, you know that fucking story. That's a goddamn superhero. I read that, like, a portion of that in high school, and I was confused because I'm like, in Beowulf, he was fighting this monster in the ocean, underwater for like 3 days. And I'm like, obviously, I must not understand English because it sounds like this fool is a fucking superhero. And everyone loves Beowulf, but if you put that story with a picture, you know, which artists hard as shit to do, and they're like, oh, now it's for children. I don't know. People are just bougie sometimes, you know. Music. Classical music is great, but everything else is shit. You know. The violin is a status item, you know. If you can play the violin, but if you can play the guitar, they're like, eh. And it's just, like, that kind of shit annoys me. You know, rich people shit is seen as awesome and great, but, you know, what the masses enjoy, it's just like, oh. And nah, it bugs the hell out of me. But I don't know. That's why I kind of like Japan. They're a lot more free to be who they are. And
yeah, there's niche culture everywhere. Like, if you're into maids, you want to be a master, you can go to a cafe and they'll call you master. Welcome home, master.
Mm-hmm. Well, what would you like to eat, master?
Yeah. And they even do magic at these said cafes. Not that I would know.
I'm about to say, I've never actually been to one. I don't have, like, that's a little too much for me.
Yeah, there's a whole bunch of things for everyone here. If you like cats, if you like animals, there's all kinds of, like, cat and dog cafes.
And the owl cafe.
Yeah, too. An owl cafe in Fukuoka, too. And, yeah, so there's things for everyone here, so.
Yeah, and you get to be who you want to be, even if it's a bit strange to other people. I know I've seen, there's a guy out here who dresses in like a skirt and like women's clothing.
Oh, dude, that dude tripped me out one time. I was like, oh, this girl has pretty nice legs.
You didn't say that.
No, I was thinking in my head, you know, like, oh, and then he turns around and it's a dude. I'm like, oh.
Dude, he doesn't even shave his legs. Like, he got a 5 o'clock shadow. Like, I don't know what it is. Like, he just doesn't give a fuck.
No, there's other guys too.
Oh, okay.
There's many of them out there.
But yeah, and nobody picks on them. Nobody.
Yeah. How about that guy who walks a raccoon? No one.
Oh God, yeah. The one on the leash.
Yeah. No one said anything about that dude.
Yeah.
There's no PETA over here.
No. Remember the guy at the gym who used to wear the top shirt? He used to wear like a women's kind of like
crop top.
Yeah, and just he'd be working out in Zumba, and once again,
You know, we. Wasn't for us, but we didn't tell them, hey, man, you shouldn't be wearing that stuff.
No. They do not give a damn. There's the girls who dress in those old, like, gothic kind of, what they call them, Lolita, I don't know, the maid outfits or something, walk around the city. No, you get, I guess there's just people who just don't give a fuck at a point.
Yeah.
But, yeah, the rest of the people around them don't react to it, don't shame them, don't, like, there's not, like, hate like there is back home, like. No religious hate.
I don't know what the hell is going on in America right now, but I'm not saying everyone should turn in all your guns or the government should take over your guns, but you guys gotta stop shooting people, man. That's one thing that we don't ever have to worry about in Japan, though.
Yeah.
I mean, there are guns in Japan. Some people have them. Cops have them, and some criminals have them, but there's never gonna... Oh, I can't say never, but, you know, it's going to be very, very rare for them to have a mass shooting in Japan.
No, I think some people in the country are allowed to have them for, like, you know, hunting, too, to get rid of, like, animals, but I don't know. In America, because I grew up around guns. I grew up with people having guns in their cars and stuff, blah, 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 and no one ever got shot. But no one wants to teach how to use guns properly.
Yeah, that's
there's no set of rules, and
that's the hard part, right? Like, you buy a car, you gotta go to class, you gotta get a license, you know. You want a gun, you know, you can afford it. You didn't commit any crimes. Here's a gun. You know?
Well, there's loopholes to buy. Yeah, so they need to get together and just say, if a person owns a gun, they need to do this, this, and this, and they need to be trained for this long, and they, like, because Sweden actually has more guns than we do, but guns aren't allowed to be loaded. Like, you have to have the ammo and the gun separate, and, you know, and I don't think, they said in 15 years, Sweden hasn't had, like, I think they have one gun death, and it was, like, an accident or something.
Mm.
So, we can live with guns. I think we're always pinned against each other in America. We're always fighting, you know. Republican, Democrat, black, white, Mexican, Asian, you know, we're always segregated, and then we're always kind of forced to think everybody's the enemy. And I think that's what is different here. Like, everyone's out for Japan. Everyone's trying to help Japan. And they, you know, they love their country. They love to support each other. And we don't have that anymore. Without, like, a war or a common enemy to hate, you know, America's just kind of out there in the cold of how to deal with each other, you know.
Maybe Tyson was right.
What did Tyson say?
No, I'm just saying, like, if there's an alien species, you know, Independence Day, where all of humanity binds together, you know?
Makes sense. I mean, a common enemy, the enemy, they say, like, the enemy of my enemy is my friend, right?
Yeah.
So if we got... If we got the same enemy, well, of course we're going to get along, but... Nah, I hope we do better. I hope... We got to learn... That's why, with the whole nerd shit, with the Bill Maher saying, like, oh, why are people reading, like, fucking comics? Who gives a damn? If shit makes you happy, and it ain't illegal, it ain't hurting nobody, read the fucking books. Watch cartoons. No one bitches at people watching Disney cartoons.
Yeah, and they're pretty good, too, man.
Yeah, and this is... I mean, if you don't like superhero stuff and if you don't like comic books, that's all for you. That's fine. You know, I'm not going to hate on that. I don't like country music. I don't say we need to get rid of it. But with all the shit going on in the world, just do what makes you happy. I mean, I always think people should read books and expand their horizons and learn things, but when you're just doing something for entertainment value, just to kill time, yeah. Do what the hell makes you happy.
Yeah. Everyone just do what you like.
Yes. As long as it's legal.
Even if it's legal.
Oh, God. Yeah, we tell that with all the people doing all the drugs and shit out there.
As long as you don't get caught.
No, it's only legal.
And don't hurt anyone. Yeah. As long as you don't get caught and it doesn't hurt anyone, yeah.
Yeah. If you like weed, do not come to Japan. Because that shit is a felony out here. And it's not worth trouble to smoke a joint in this country to deal with the oh, God, what's the word I'm looking for?
Repercussions.
There it is. Yeah. God damn. Yeah. So, keep your ass in the States or wherever you're at if you need a puff puff pass. But, yeah, no, I think the only thing that's going to make us happy right now is getting on that diet and trying to finally lose some of the weight we've been talking about in these past couple episodes.
Yeah, I mean, us Fukuoka fat guys, in 4 days we're going to start a diet. So on February 1st, we're gonna start eating 2,200 calories a day and then slowly take it down. So a common onigiri is about 240 calories.
What's an onigiri?
A rice ball. It's like those, it's like these triangular shaped rice balls with things inside, like tuna or
plum.
Yeah, or pickles. Yeah.
And stuff like that.
So those are about 240 calories. So you can eat 10 of those.
Almost. 9.
Yeah, 9. 9 of those. Pretty much. 2,200 calories, just to give you a rough estimate, it's probably like a piece of steak that's the size of your fist, and a small bowl of rice, that times 4, and you'll be roughly around 2,200 calories. So,
how many calories do we just, what's it, the basal metabolic rate? Or BMI index? I don't know. Like, how many?
Usually, to calculate your basal metabolic rate or your calories that are needed, you just, as a rough estimate, take your lean body mass and times that by 10.
Mm-hmm. And how do you find your lean body mass?
Well, you just try to see how much body fat you have, and you times that by the weight you are, and you take that number.
But there's also machines and stuff.
Yeah, there's machines at the gyms that you can do in-body that will tell you roughly and how much calories you should be eating. But let's say right now you're 333 pounds, right? You're 333 pounds and you're roughly around, what, 28%, let's say 30%. So that's, what, 30 times 300, whatever.
So what, 9?
90 pounds off that. So you'll be 2, so you, roughly around that number would be pretty good.
Now, so what is, do you know what your BMR is?
My basal metabolic rate? Mm-hmm. No, I don't.
But you think 2,200 calories is,
it's below that's below
Earth. Okay.
So what we're trying to do is you're trying to lose weight. So we're trying to hit a number, and obviously, if you're losing too much weight, you're going to add maybe 200 calories back into your diet. Mm-hmm. You don't want to make huge jumps. You just want to find a place where you're maintaining or losing 1 pound a week and go from there.
Yeah, so the,
we're going to take it nice and slow this time.
Yeah, not go nuts and, you know, make things miserable.
Yep. We're not going to be cutting our carbs to zero carbs, or we're not going to be running 20 miles a day, you know. Stick to walking if we're going to do any sort of cardio, and that's more for just, like, just getting your step count to a respectable amount and going from there.
Yeah. So, from what I understand, then the BMR is the amount of calories you burn regularly without doing any workout and just stuff, just your normal, the normal amount of calories you use in your body. Right?
Does yes.
That sound correct? And then setting ours to 22, we're going under that, so that we're at a deficit, which means we'll have to use fat or something as a source, or burn fat, to, because of, we're not getting enough calories.
Yes.
All right. And so roughly at 2,200 calories, maybe we'll be losing like a pound a week.
Probably a little bit more for you. Maybe you should actually start at 2,500.
25?
Yeah, because it's... Yeah, maybe 2,500 for you.
Yeah, because do you know how many calories you need to burn to lose a pound?
Like, I don't know. Roughly about 3,500 calories is 1 pound. Pound.
Huh. So I got to do 3,500 calories worth of working out to lose a pound a day, which is probably impossible.
That's possible. It's just your body will fight back.
Oh. It'll start getting cramps and stuff, or...
Well, your body will become better at just holding on to the energy and stuff. So you want to slowly, make changes.
Yo, I heard that's, a thing. Like, the reason why you should change up your workout is because your body adjusts to how you lift or what you do, and it'll learn how to do that same thing with, more efficiently, so it won't be as beneficial.
Yeah, it's not as difficult for your body.
Yeah, so it learns pretty much.
Yeah, so basically... you just want your body to always be guessing and as uncomfortable as possible.
And shock the system, right? Yeah. Doing different lifts and stuff. Oh, God, this is going to be so nerve-wracking.
Yep. So, let's see how this goes, you know?
Yeah, well, hopefully next week with episode 4, we'll have some interesting updates.
We show you the pictures.
Oh, God, I can't believe we're going to post those goddamn pictures. Oh, man. So, yeah, I guess the goal for me this week is, like I said in the last episode, just going to try and be on that, be in the gym every day this week just to do a light bit of cardio, do some biking, and go enjoy the bathtub in there. But any goals for you this week or anything you're going to try before we start our diet in 4 days?
I'm going to try to slowly take my calories down, I think. Our dinner tonight was roughly around 2,000 calories.
God damn. I mean, it's the only thing we've eaten today, technically, so...
Yeah, but it's still under, but, I mean, it's still a lot of food. But, yeah, I'm just going to slowly, take my calories down and then try to eat some... Try to include more fiber in my diet and then go from there. And we'll see how it goes.
All right, well, hopefully we'll catch you guys next week on the dot, trying to make sure we don't have a small hiatus anymore.
Yep, no more procrastination.
Yes, we're going to learn and...
Consistency.
Consistency. If you guys got any things you want to know about Fukuoka 2, let us know in the comments.
Yeah, send us some questions.
Yeah, well, we'll get on that and hopefully be able to answer some of your questions about whatever you got. So, yeah, we'll catch you guys next time, man.
See you.
Peace.